The second epistle of John the Apostle, verse 1. The elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. The word elder is presbyterios, which is used, you know, of official elders in the church, but here it may refer to the apostles' age. The elect lady, of course, being the most important part of this, you know, this first verse, that she is chosen. Chosen of God. Predestined according to the promises of God, according to the will of God, which he purposed in himself before the foundation of the world, as are all who are chosen, all who are elect, are chosen before they've done anything, before they even existed, when they were only existing in the mind and purpose of God. He chose them, selected them. According to his purposes. According to the purposes which he purposed in himself. You know, it's not according to man's judgment or according to what I think or what I want. It's according to what God thinks, what God wants. The word lady is kuria, which is the feminine of the word that's used for Lord in the New Testament, like the Lord. Is kurios. And so kuria is the feminine for Lord. And it may be a proper name. Like kyria. Or, you know, in Greek they would use that as a proper name. So that's, it could be he's referring to someone by name here. And her children, whom I love in the truth. Because it is the truth. And that binds us together in the body of Christ. You know, in the previous epistle, and I'm going to try to lump these epistles in with the first epistle of John, as far as on the webpage. They're going to be on the same page together. But remember he talked about the love of the brethren. It is in the truth that we love, the greatest love. Because when you love the truth in the midst of a world that hates the truth, when you know others who also love the truth, it causes you to have deep feelings of affection for them that love the truth. And not, and he's saying, not me only, but all those, because all who love, all who know the truth, and this is, you know, you can know the truth and deny it, you can know the truth and hate it, but those who know it and love it, love those who love the truth, love those who know the truth. And that's know in the sense of affirmative knowledge, meaning with the end being faith. For the truth's sake, it's the truth that we love over. Hey, we don't love, you know. And again, we talked a lot about love in the first epistle of John. And I don't want to make a whole new discussion about love. I just covered that to a very great degree. I'm kind of interested in moving on. But if you hadn't listened to the other parts, I suggest you go back and listen to the first epistle of John, especially chapter 4 and 5. The truth dwells in us and is with us forever. The truth. We are going, that's why truth is so important. It's because it is so important to the faith. Because you have faith in what? In God. Okay, but it's not just, okay, I believe in God. Because that's not really enough. You believe in something about God. Something that God does. Something that God says. And what it really is in Christianity, we are believing in, having faith in promises. Like, Jesus rose from the dead. We believe in that. But there is a promise in his resurrection from the dead. That promise is the truth. And we believe on it. We believe on it unto everlasting life, being the ultimate. But we also believe on that truth unto every good work that comes in between. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace. The apostles speak a lot of grace, because grace is the most important thing that I can, because there are vessels of wrath and there are vessels of mercy. In order to be saved, we must have the grace of God. Without the grace of God, it is impossible to be saved. Now, some people would say, well, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Yeah, it has appeared. Through this word, it has appeared. But the grace of God is not towards all men as it is towards his elect. His elect, the grace of God towards them is that, because, you know, what the thing is, by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Meaning, God is gracious to us that we could receive faith of him and believe on him. The grace of God isn't like this pool we have to jump into with our works, with our faith. But rather, the grace of God is that he would send faith to us. Those who do not receive faith from God. And I don't mean like, I receive your faith. No, now you're trying to throw something up at God again. What it is God sends forth faith. Now, sometimes it involves, of course, us doing things Godward. But you got to understand that from the perspective of God, everything is coming down from him to us. You know what I mean? Like, we think, oh, we're seeking God. But really, he was seeking us first. You have to acknowledge these things. These are the truth. These things are the truth. Grace is God's favor towards us. It is his, and as they often say in the church world, it is unmerited favor. Meaning, you can't earn this favor. It's not the kind of favor where I can go out and say, okay, I'll feed the poor, I'll visit the sick, I'll visit those in prison, and then God is going to start cutting me some breaks. There are people who do all manner of good. And this is what causes many people not to even believe that there is a God. Because there are people who go out there and they bust themselves trying to do good, helping people, and then what? They die in a tragic accident. Or they die in a...